Before you're seated, we invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, please. Our pastoral prayer arose from what we'll be learning in our scriptural text today. As we look at John chapter 15, it is a passage that's well known as it speaks about the vine, the living vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. So let's read verses 1 through 11. As we prepare our hearts for our time in the Word. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word, for the reminders in the word of faithful remaining in Christ. Cause us to be faithful. Cause us to learn the lessons of this day. And I pray, Father, that you'll do a mighty work in our own personal life, in the lives of our families and friends around us. May we, as a church body and as individuals, remain attached dependently to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may fruit be born in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a marvelous text of Scripture. There are 27 verses in the chapter. And the chapter follows a very simple, basic outline. And yet the outline leads us to a conclusion. Now normally I give you the conclusions and take-home points at the end. But let me give them to you a little bit early today so that you can carry them with you through the message and hopefully see the thread that we're going to go through. The first 11 verses, I believe, teach us to glorify God in our living relationship to Christ. Glorify God in your living relationship to Christ, verses 1 through 11, the vine and the branches, a living relationship. Then second of all, glorify God in your loving reach to the saints, verses 12 through 17. Glorify God in your loving reach to the saints, verses 12 through 17. Then finally, glorify God in your loyal radiance before the world, verses 18 through 27. Glorify God in your living relationship to Christ, 1 through 11. Glorify God in your loving reach to the saints, 12 through 17, and glorify God in your loyal radiance in verses 18 through 27. To God, Jesus Christ, to your saints, loving relationship to the saints, and then a loyal radiance out to a lost world is what we find in the scriptural admonition in John 15. These things are all taking place at the conclusion of the communion service. So what happens as our Lord is instituting communion on that Passover night prior to his crucifixion, betrayal, crucifixion, and resurrection is he's speaking to the disciples and teaching them things that they needed to know. And it was a burden on his heart as he was sharing around the meal and picking up the fruit of the vine and sharing the cups, the various cups that resembled and taught lessons to the children of Israel and taught lessons to the saints of joy and anticipation and God's covenant loyalty with his own. He says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. You must live in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And that living relationship among the branches reminds you that you must have a loving relationship, a loving reach to the saints. And then ultimately, there are branches and there are those that are not branches. And so we must live in a loyal radiance to a lost world of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. It's an interesting order. And so one of our take-home points will be this today. The take-home point following the order of the chapter is this. Your healthy relationship with God will help you make sense of your relationship with the saints. And that healthy relationship with the saints helps you make sense of your relationship with the lost world around you. Make sense? That's the chapter. You can't go home yet, but that's what I want to share with you. Your healthy relationship with God, I am the vine, you're the branches, helps you make sense of your relationship with the saints of God, believers, who are also branches of the vine. And that healthy relationship with the saints around you helps you understand your relationship to a lost world. Now, if you reverse that order, you're in trouble. Do you catch what I'm saying? If you reverse the order and you say, I am trying to figure out my relationship with the world at large and the unsaved people around me. I'm trying to get along with my neighbor. I'm trying to get along with these people I have to work with. I've got to figure out how to navigate life. And I want them to like me. You will confuse every other relationship in your life. Whether it's with your family, whether it's with the saints in your church, and whether it's with your Lord Jesus Christ. If you reverse the order, you're in trouble. That's why the Lord teaches us that you start with a foundational principle that you have to be in a right living relationship, a healthy living relationship with the vine, Jesus Christ. He's the one who helps you make sense of your relationship with the saints. You know the challenge. You're living among saints who aren't totally glorified yet. And so there are the problems and the challenges and the trials and difficulties. And because you're walking with Christ, you can navigate those trials because you're in a healthy relationship with Christ. In your healthy relationship with Christ, building upon that, a healthy relationship with the saints, then you make sense of the lost world and whether they like you or don't like you, whether they put up with you or they don't, what you have to communicate with them. You've got to start with Christ. So that's what our Lord does. What a great take-home point. If we have it in the right order, we'll make sense of our life. Let me take you to the first section of what we find here. Glorify God in your living relationship with Christ. We notice a number of things. If you've got a pencil or a pen, I'd like you to mark some things in your Bibles because I think it will help you. Probably what stands out the most is the concept of fruit because that's what we want. We want fruit. What does God say about fruit? Let me show you a few things. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. That's the first condition of fruitfulness. No fruit. Does not bear fruit. And we're going to find this go through the whole spectrum. You start off with no fruit. Any branch that does not bear fruit. Branches of vines are supposed to bear fruit, aren't they? That's the goal of growing grapes. In their day, growing grapes is a little different than our day. You know, you see vineyards off on the hillside, usually with these grapes that are well trained up on the wires, spread across the wires, gathering in the sun, grape clusters hanging off, well cared for, manicured vineyards are beautiful, a beautiful sight to behold, and you can grow a lot of grapes on an acre of ground. Here in their day would be a little different. They didn't have wires, but they certainly would have places where they would grow grapes, and there would be some branches that bore no fruit. They would be fruitless branches, and there is going to be something that occurs with those. They get pruned. Then we see why. Look at what it says. He takes away those that every branch that does not bear fruit, and he says every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So no fruit, branches that bear fruit. What other kinds of branches? He prunes them, verse 2, that they may bear more fruit. So no fruit, fruit, more fruit. What else do we find? Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So, no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. There's a flow in the text, isn't there? It's natural. Let me take you to the final one, which we will find. If you look on down through the text of Scripture, you look at verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." So fruit that remains, which seems to be, you know, the fruit of value. It's the fruit you keep. It's the fruit that you process. The fruit that brings purpose to the vineyard. So we tend to look at the text of the vine and the branches and the fruit, and we focus on fruit because we like fruit. Yeah, we do. We like to collect things. We like to see fruit grow. We like to see the end result of the season. And I hope you will take time to read through the Salt and Light. I purposely put together a little different take on the bearing fruit and what it is to bear fruit in the difficulties, because it fits in with our text, though from a different scriptural passage. No fruit, fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. Remaining fruit. That abundance. That's what you want, isn't it? Are you a fruitful Christian today? Are you bearing fruit like you ought to? And after all, what is fruit? What is fruit? Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Think about the fruit of righteousness. Think about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Think of the other texts that talk about fruit. And yet we do understand there is a purpose in being a believer. And that is to be tied to the vine. That leads us to the next section where you can write some little notes. Did you notice that there is a word that occurs over and over and over again in the text? What is that word, Saint? Abide, exactly. It's the word to remain. It's actually hidden away a few times in our text as well. But let's look at our text again. It says in verse 2, "Every branch in me," that's that connection of vine to the branch, "that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Look further down to verse 3. "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Remain." There is a remaining in Christ, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains, abides in the vine, neither can you unless you remain, abide in me. Are you getting the picture? The burden is not about fruit so much as it is about the relationship with the vine. Look with me, if you will, at verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit." Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered." Verse 7, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask me what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified." Look at verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may abide in you, and that your joy may be full." It's in a few other sections of this chapter, but are you getting the concept? The focus of the believer is not to say, "Oh boy, am I bearing fruit like I ought to." Fruit will be the natural byproduct of what is done in the rest of the season by the vine dresser, by the nature of the vine, by the nature of the branch, by the nature of the task, by the sunshine, by the nutrients, by the nature of what is created in that vine. Fruit comes as a result of the natural product of that branch remaining on the vine. You remove the branch from the vine, what happens to the fruit? Gone. I used to have some fruit trees in New Jersey, and I remember going around and trimming about, and I think one of the kids took one of my trimmings from one of the trees and stuck it in the ground when it was moist and damp. And I remember that little stick starting to bear leaves, but it was destined to die away. There were no roots. It was no longer connected to the tree. Purposefully disconnected, because it wasn't a fruit-bearing branch, but it was one that was stuck in the ground, and so it drew some moisture, and some leaves started to pop out of it, but it was not long for this world. The picture in our text is just as real. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, there needs to be a close working connection of dependence upon the vine Or you're like a branch that's been snipped off the vine and it's designed for nothing more but the trial of fire. Some have thought that this relates to losing your salvation. That's not the text. That's not what this is. Our Lord is talking to the 11 remaining disciples. The 12th one has already left the building. He's already gone to betray the Lord. He is not a believer. The other 11 are. And so our Lord, in talking with the disciples, is saying, you need to remain connected integrally with me. And you need to be dependent upon me. And you will bear fruit. And my desire is that you bear more and more and more fruit, and there will be the work of God designed to cause you to bear fruit in your life. But the key is remaining in me. The vine is the thing we protect, isn't it? It's that which produces the nature of the branch that it puts forth with the desire of producing the fruit that is valued. That is the burden of the text. A right living relationship with Jesus Christ is what is required to glorify God in your life. Are you bearing fruit? It's not so much, are you figuring out how to do it, or are you producing something, as much as it is the burden of the Lord to say, are you bearing fruit because you're connected to me? Is that your focus? Are you walking in a right relationship with me? Because that's what produces everything else in its appropriate order. Do you know me as your Lord and Savior? Are you connected to the vine? And then are you living in a dependent relationship daily upon what I give you to nourish you and sustain you and what I design to produce in fruit in your life throughout this week and throughout your future? Are you walking with me? Are you remaining in me? I think it's a fascinating passage. Let's look at how he puts it for us. I am the true vine, as opposed to all the other fakers out there. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who works in his vineyard. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. There's the idea of coming alongside of that grapevine. Now, have you ever tried to grow grapes? Is there anyone here who has? Anybody here have some? Yeah, okay, a few. So you know a little bit about growing grapes. Growing grapes is a challenge, I think. Because I've not always been very successful at it. It's been fun to try, but I never quite figured out which is the fruiting spur and which is not. Some branches will grow fruit, others won't, and so you have to come along, and you've got to trim back the vine so it actually has a chance to grow and doesn't get overrun. You have to make sure you find out which one is the fruit-bearing branch. And you encourage it, and you take away the sucker branches that don't provide for the vine. Because the goal is to enjoy the grapes. Now, some people can eat the leaves. I'm not Greek, and so we don't really cook grape leaves so much. But I remember, I've always loved grapes. Grapes are delicious. They're just a special thing to enjoy. And so you have to learn the nature of the vine. And you have to encourage that vine to grow the branches and encourage it to grow the fruit. That work of the true vine, the great vine, is to produce fruit. And the vine dresser comes alongside and he encourages good growth and he works among his vines with the desire to bring forth fruit. He takes away the branches that don't bear fruit. The others that do, he prunes, he cleans, he cleanses, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. He's not questioning, are they believers? But he says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. A key principle. You will not bear fruit if you are not remaining in Christ. If you're not walking with him. If you're not finding your sustaining grace day by day. You cannot bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That's what I will do in you, bear fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You ought to underline that sentence. Underline what it's saying. For without me you can do nothing. Literally, nothing whatever apart from me can you do. Do you understand the power of that statement? Nothing apart from me can you do. Nothing whatever apart from me can you do. Some who think they can work their way to heaven ignore this verse. Nothing apart from me, whatever, can you do, the Lord says. You cannot merit heaven. It's only in Christ that you can go to heaven. That's what he's saying. You cannot bear fruit yourself either apart from the Lord. Nothing, whatever, apart from me can you do. Now, if you've reversed the order and you're saying, I'm trying to figure out my world, I'm trying to get along with all these unsaved people around me, I want them to like me and love me, and then I'll reach them somehow, you've confused the message. Nothing, whatever, apart from me can you do with any significance of eternity, of any fruit. You must start with a right relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no room here for human effort. There's no room for the theology that teaches man is not totally dead spiritually. There's no room for that. Nothing, whatever, apart from me can you do to bear fruit. Can't do it. Those who think that if you reform somebody on the outside in order to get the inside to conform are wrong. Nothing, whatever, apart from me can you do. That's pretty stark in its truth. And yet it's profound. Because without Christ, you cannot bear fruit. You must be dependent daily for the resources and the source and the direction and fruit bearing upon Jesus Christ. Do you start there every day? Have you been good at doing that? You can't bear fruit without remaining in Christ. And he's very specific in stating that to us. Glorify God in your living relationship with Jesus Christ. He says further in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Often in this kind of a context, the Lord is reflective upon just the trial by fire that God puts his people through. It's that idea of purging away the stuff that really doesn't bring about value in your life. You know, you go along and you trim out your fruit trees and you trim out your vines and you just gather up all of the flotsam and jetsam that's fallen to the ground and you throw it into the fire and burn it away and throw the ashes around the tree to be able to re-strengthen the tree with what nutrients are placed back in the soil. Verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. One of the benefits of that living relationship with God is answered prayer. Isn't it great to have an answer like this? If you abide in me and what my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's a promise. Are there any rules to asking what you want? Yes, there are. Just like the branch that wants to put forth fruit, or its nature is to put forth fruit, it says to the vine, give me what I need so I can bear fruit. It's within the context of the nature of what the vine wants to do that the branch can request the resources to put forth the fruit. That's what the text is saying. If you want to have answers to prayer, then begin by dependence upon Jesus daily as the vine to provide the source for the fruit. And begin to pray for that fruit that God will bring because you're depending on him. And God will answer that request. You want to answer prayer? Then pray about the fruit that God wants to produce in you. And God will do it. Answered prayer. The benefit of a right living relationship with the Lord is that he will answer that prayer. He will not deny the fruitfulness that God will bring about because he desires to produce fruit in you. He says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In order to be a disciple of Christ, you must be a disciple. It's not very profound, very simple. In order to be a disciple of Christ, you must be the disciple of Christ. That's what he's saying. He says here, so you will be proven to be, you will become more and more day by day in a growing, progressive relationship. You will become my disciple. You're my disciple today, but you want to be more of a disciple tomorrow. Then start praying for fruit that you'll bear because you are tied in an economical relationship with Jesus Christ. You're tied in this organic relationship with Christ. You're dependent upon him. He wants to produce fruit. His desire is to do so. He'll do so through you as you pray and ask for that fruitfulness. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. For if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, my characteristic joy, might remain in you, and that your joy, my joy, your joy may be fulfilled. When we move to verse 12, we see that we are to glorify God in your loving reach to the saints. The fruitfulness that we benefit from day by day is a fruitfulness that often is found among believers and in context with believers. Now, saints aren't always perfect. You'll have a lot of branches on that vine that you'll have struggles getting along with. Some will get in the way of the sunshine, and they put forth a leaf that takes away your sunshine, and you'll find yourself in the shade. And you got to get along with that vine branch. There are things that occur among Christians and among saints, and they're difficult to understand. But if you're in a right relationship with the vine, it will produce a right relationship with the other branches. And that's something of what I think the Lord continues to build. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Your loving reach to the saints is being put forward. The nature and purport of love, what will be produced, what you see on the surface, as well as on the inside, will be a nature of love that cares about other saints. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. It's a sacrificial love. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. This is as many things as I command. Whatever God tells you, you will do. It doesn't matter what others might perceive. If God tells you in his word this is what you must do, you do it because he tells you to. Whatever, as many things as he commands. That's what you do as a saint, because that's part of that loving relationship with each other. Whatever he commands, you'll do. Talk about dependent love. We are to be a branch organically tied to the vine. And what the vine wants to produce through the branch is fruit. And so you request those things that produce fruit. And you're in relationship to other vines that are designed to or branches that are designed to produce fruit. And so you have that loving relationship one to another that allows fruit to prevail. So as many things as he commands. You kind of fade into the background, don't you? You become the branch that's really not the fruit. It's the fruit that's produced that's the value. You're just glad to be used. And so there you are, plugged into the vine, along with the other branches. And the goal is, as many things as he calls upon you to do, you do. Because that's the role of the branch. That's all we are. Branches, bringing forth the glory of God, that fruit that he desires to see. No longer, he says, do I call you servants, verse 15. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you, and you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I think it's fascinating to look at this text, and he seems to recount or recap what he said in the first 11 verses with the idea of depending upon the divine, praying and having your prayers answered. And he says, look, he says, here's the bottom line in verse 16. You did not choose me. Many times as we think back upon our salvation, most of the time we think, well, I remember when I asked Christ to save me, I chose him. I asked God to save me. And then he says, When you really look at the theology of it, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And here's why he chose you, believer. I chose you and appointed you or set you in place. I committed to you that purpose that you should go, literally withdraw for a purpose. Withdraw from everything else. Go to bear fruit. You're chosen to a fruitful carriage of your life. And that your fruit should keep on remaining. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That role of the Lord in calling us and setting us apart. Let me give you some other verses that will just cause your heart to soar with regard to his sovereign grace and love. Jehovah did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because Jehovah loves you, he has brought you out with a mighty hand. Deuteronomy 7:7-8. Isaiah 48:11, for my own sake will I do it. Daniel 9:19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake, O my God, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely. Romans 5:8, but God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, in order that we should be holy. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his own son to be the propitiation for our sin. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. God's the initiator, I'm the responder. Jesus is the vine, I'm a branch. And the goal is for the Lord to produce fruit. It's all about him, and that fruit is through his branches, who call back to the branch and say, provide the fruit. And God answers that he might be glorified. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Believer, if you want to know your purpose is to be a fruit bearer. And God intends to do that. Is that an encouragement to you? As long as you're on this earth, no matter who you are, if you're a saint, God's goal is to produce fruit in your life. He's not done with you yet, if you're still here. He's not gathered you away with all the rest of his sheaves. No, the Lord has left you here to be bearing fruit day by day by day, day in, day out. And if you want to bear fruit, make sure you're remaining in Christ. Make sure you're dependent upon him. Make sure there's a conduit through which fruit will be produced in your day-to-day life. Make sure you have that first, that fruit might be produced, and then learn to love the brethren, because that's often the context in which fruit is produced in the life of the believer. Finally, our text moves us on to glorify God in your loyal radiance before the world. Verses 18 through 27 leave some interesting things. Remember he said in verse 16, withdraw so that you might produce fruit. Withdraw from whom? He tells you, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Do you see why? If a Christian approaches his life with the world and says, I want to be loved by everybody, I want to get along with everybody, I just want to be kind, I want to live at peace with my neighbors, I want to just get along and survive, I want to prevail in income or status, I want to be approved by everybody else, then you've got the cart before the horse. It's not what God called a Christian to be. It doesn't have anything to do with fruitfulness. Oh, you think it's to be a nice guy, but that's not what God says. We have to be in a right relationship with Christ first, and then a loving reach with the saints, so that we might be a loyal radiance to the world. If you turn it around, you're in trouble. And the problem is most saints want to keep the two things separate. I'm a good churchgoer on Sunday, and the rest of the week I just want to be a good Christian. I just want to be a good guy. I want to get along. God says, wait a minute, Christian, you got to understand something. The world's going to hate you. Now, they may not always tell you that. They may not always act that way. But there's a reason why the saints can't put the cart before the horse. Because the natural response of the world is, if you want to bear fruit, Christian, you have to withdraw, in a sense. You have to depend upon the Lord. You have to be attached to the vine so that fruit can grow and you stand forth as a loyal, radiant reminder to the lost world that Jesus lives, that that's where life is. And so he goes on to tell us in the rest of the verses that there is a natural hatred that the world has for a believer, for someone who's bearing fruit. Where does that come from? Well, there's a heritage in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me. There's a perfect tense. It began hating me before, and it continues to this day. The world hates Jesus, and the world hates anyone who resembles him. The world does not like the reminder that attacks their conscience that there is a standard higher and bigger than they. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So they have a heritage. There's an affinity in verse 19. If you were of the world, if you were springing out of the world would love you. The world word love there is the word phileo. It's that natural affection. Phileo love is brotherly love. You know, you get along with your family as you grow older, maybe not when you're 5, but when you're 25, I hope so. There's a natural affinity that builds in. It's a phileo love. The world loves its own. Anybody that's just like them, it loves them. How often does a Christian fall flat on his face when he tries to live like the world? He tries to somehow span the difference, the space between being godly and being worldly. He tries to be accepted by his friends in the world, his lost friends, and yet be accepted by God, and a Christian will fall flat on his face because somehow you're still not like him. There's an affinity. If you really know the Lord as Savior, there will be a line of demarcation that you cannot avoid. If you were of the world, if you're springing out of the world would love you. It'd have a natural affection. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world hates you. This hatred also springs from a motivation. That motivation is that you stand for Christ. You're His. If you really are His, there will be a natural affinity. Now, if you've been raised in a Christian home and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to hate it. Why? Because the home is something is not your it's not your nature. It's not who you are. And so you will struggle against that. If you are in a Christian environment, in a church that is seeking to love God and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to know there's not a natural affinity there. Something's wrong and you're going to hate it and you're going to go somewhere else. Why the apostle says they left us, they went out from among us because they were not of us. There's a natural affinity of the things of God to the people of God, and there's a natural affinity to the world of the people who are not of God. There's an elective grace. There's a humble identity. Look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Believers, recognize believers. You need to be loyal in your radiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the darkness of a lost world, and not try to be like that lost world. Look further. There is the unregenerate heart of verse 21. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, or on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If you try to stand in both worlds, equally, on equal footing, the worlds are separating, and you're going to fall into the drink. You can't do it. You must stand for Christ. You must be attached to the vine. Either you're attached or you're not. Which will it be? If you want to walk about in the lost world and act like you're not attached to the vine, you're not going to bear any fruit. But if you're out there in the lost world thinking that you're going to be disattached from Christ, but bear fruit, you're going to die and shrivel away because you're trying to put the cart in front of the horse. Live with Christ. Live dependent upon Him, regardless of what the world says. And don't be surprised when the unsaved world makes fun of you, because you can't stand in both worlds. You can't wear blue and gray in the Civil War at the same time. You can't do that. You're an enemy to everyone. You must choose. And so the Lord says, I've chosen you. I want to bear fruit through you. The unsaved world will struggle with that. They naturally have an unregenerate heart. There's an unregenerate conscience in verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. The word excuse is a beautiful word, and so often what the world tries to do. The word excuse means a cloak. It's something that's designed to cover up something that you don't want to have seen. And so the idea here is that because God speaks to the conscience, the unsaved heart sees the Christian, and all of a sudden you've removed the cloak that they've tried to put in front of themselves, and all of a sudden they realize they're a sinner, and they don't like it. The Christian who's bearing fruit attached to the vine is the Christian who stands out to an unsaved mind, and the unsaved mind doesn't like it because it pulls aside the cloaking device that they have so carefully woven to hide their sin. If you're trying to live like them, you don't bear fruit because there's nothing to remove the cloak. And they don't necessarily like you because you're not really of them, but you're really not providing any good either. Believers, the Lord's challenge to you is to be a branch that bears fruit because you depend upon Him, despite the fact that it speaks to the conscience of an unsaved world. There is an unregenerate enmity, or being an enemy to you. Verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father also. They're at war with God. Don't try to be like them. Don't try to love them in the sense that you have an affinity for them, you want to be like them, because they're at war with your God. What role should a believer have instead? A believer should stand for Christ and have a loyal radiance. The unregenerate mind and reason, verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have had no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. They will not get it unless God steps in and invades their life. That is the unregenerate mind. Hatred will come to an end. Verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. You see, God's challenge to us as believers is know Christ as Savior, first of all. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Are you born again? Are you a branch attached to the vine? Are you His, or are you yet in sin? Do you want to get out of here as quick as you can because your conscience hurts and because the cloak is being pulled away by the saints of God? Or do you find that it's refreshing to be among the other branches, that their greatest desire is to bear fruit? And so together we're encouraging each other to be connected to the source of where fruit comes from, the stuffings of fruit, what makes fruit in our life. Do you know Christ as Savior? Second of all, remember this. Your healthy relationship with God will help you make sense of your relationship with the saints. And your healthy relationship with the saints will help you make sense of your relationship with the world. If you confuse that order, your life is going to be a mess. Your healthy relationship with God, with the vine, will help you make sense of your role and your relationship with the saints. And your healthy relationship with the saints will help you make sense of your relationship with the lost world. Don't reverse the order. Finally, this. It takes a disciple to become a disciple. Are you striving to be a disciple of Christ today so that you might bear more fruit tomorrow as a stronger disciple of Christ? Is that important to you? The Word gives to us such wonderful pictures of what it is to be connected to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you connected to the vine? Is the vine's driving ambition to bear fruit in you something that's occurring because you're finding your source, your sustaining grace in Christ? And if so, realize how much you owe Him. I want to give you a few moments to worship the Lord by thinking upon those things. Speak to the Lord and talk to Him about whether you are really seeking to have a right relationship with the vine and you're bearing fruit, or are you being frustrated and trying to have a healthy relationship to a lost world? Talk to Him about those things and ask Him to help you to be a better disciple. Let's bow. Father, the Word is so poignant in telling us of the sovereign grace of God Almighty, and that grace is a grace that reaches down into throughout time and invades lives. We can't help but think of the Lord Jesus Christ on that night when He has just partaken of communion with His disciples, and he was sharing with them that his body would be given as a substitute for them, that his blood would be shed to purchase their salvation. And as he almost wistfully thinks back over the course of what it was before the foundation of the earth and the determinate counsel of God, when these very disciples and all those who had come to know Christ as Savior were appointed and set apart, and he said, I will go. I will give my life. I will have my blood shed that they might live. And so as he shares with them that night, he is the vine. We are the branches. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Father, what statements of victory. What poignant statements of fruit bearing and purpose. Lord, help us to not say no to the eternal purpose of Jesus Christ in telling us to abide and remain in him and have his commandments abide in us and his love abide in us and his joy abide in us, that our joy might be fulfilled, that our prayers might be answered, that a lost world would see believers who bear fruit. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to apply these things to our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.